Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF and Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Mary Anastasia O'Grady, the columnist for the Americas for the Wall Street Journal editorial board. She's also a member of the editorial board. And looking at the election, the pending election in Peru, between two sharp differences, left and right. But more to that, the left side is historically founded on a respect for Vladimir Lenin. Mary includes in her column a quote from the left candidate Castillo's government plan. Quote, Lenin was very right when he declared that true freedom of the press in a society is only possible when it is freed from the yoke of capital. Okay? Mary, that it is ideology. That's ideology stretching back to the 20th century. Does it work in Peru? Is it working now? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. I would say that that kind of ideology sells among a certain segment of the population, but Peruvians are very entrepreneurial. You know, they run their own businesses as a huge informal economy. So to the extent that Peruvians understand what Pedro Castillo, the presidential candidate who is quoting Lenin there, to the extent that Peruvians understand that that's where he would take the country, I don't think they would vote for him. The problem is that his party and his handlers have created this sort of folkloric image of a guy on a horse with a cape, with a poncho and a hat, and he talks very much in populist terms, populism and sort of against the rich, demagoguing the wealthy and so forth. And I think that may appeal to more people than you would expect, especially on the heels of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Peru is a modest-sized country of 30 million, 35 million or so, and you report that it used to be quite prosperous and is right now facing two paths. And we're following the Castillo path because, as you say, he's a very colorful actor. Is this Chavez or is this another model, Mary?
Well, I should first say that, you know, Peru is not a wealthy country. What has been done in Peru since about 2000 is that they adopted sort of pro-market policies that include open markets. So they're very open economy, fiscal discipline, so they don't run up huge deficits or debt. You know, the sol, which is the currency, is stable. And, you know, they have not as much regulation as they used to have. So entrepreneurs have been able to prosper in this environment, and they've brought the poverty rate down a lot over the last 21 years. The problem, as I was mentioning before, is that the COVID-19 pandemic hit Peru very hard. In 2020, the gross domestic product contracted by more than 11%, according to the multilaterals that follow that data. And that means people are really hurting. And the case to fatality ratio was also very high because the public health system is not very strong. And that means people are kind of desperate. They're looking for answers. And yes, Pedro Castillo's platform is very much in line with what Hugo Chavez did in Venezuela. But I don't think a lot of the people who are want to vote for him, I don't think a lot of them actually are focusing on that. They're focusing more on everything he's offering. He's offering to take things away from the rich and give them to the poor. And that's appealing because a lot of people are hurting.
There was a quote from one of his supporters, and I'm sorry I don't have the name. It was some weeks past, saying that when Castillo wins, the rich or the middle class are going to be uncomfortable. Is that a threat, Mary?
Yeah, for sure it's a threat. And whether he can carry out that threat is not clear. But I'll tell you that when he won in the first round, so there was already one round of elections to sort out the multiple candidates and leave us two who are running in a runoff race, right? So when he won the first time around by a considerable lead, markets started selling Peruvian assets and selling the Peruvian sol, and the currency went down a lot. And that is a signal that people feel like if he wins, he is going to be anti-business, anti-market. And that's going to be bad for investors like mining companies, especially mining companies who have put a lot of money into Peru, and have a lot at risk there, but are going to have to pull out if he, starts to go after them.
The opponent is the daughter of the disgraced former president, Fujimori. Keiko Fujimori, whom you report was restrained from campaigning until recently, because she's under investigation, under indictment. What does she represent for the people of Peru? What is her vision?
Well, Keiko Fujimori is the daughter of Alberto Fujimori, who was president of Peru in the 90s. And he's actually, I believe he's in jail right now still. And she is the daughter, and so she's sort of the heir apparent of the Fujimori style of governance, which is in Peru considered center-right, more pro-market. She would be continuity with the policies that I mentioned before that have stabilized the country and allowed people to save and invest and basically have jobs. She also has a lot of shadows or, you know, clouds over her head related to corruption allegations. So for a lot of people, they see her as kind of the establishment. And in that sense, since Peruvians, like most Latin Americans, get fed up with corruption from time to time, that has hurt her. People think that she's not as above board as they want in the candidate that they would choose rather than Castillo. But the question is going to be for a lot of, for the outcome is whether people will say, okay, she's not my first pick. She has these corruption allegations. She's not, maybe some people would think she's not as pro-market because she's also a populist in many ways. So they might not like her as their first choice, but will they go and vote for her as opposed to, you know, just leaving their ballot blank? Will they vote for her because they don't want Castillo? That's the kind of question that nobody can answer right now.
Mary, I've heard it said that there are outside hands operating throughout South America, particularly hands from Caracas. Is Caracas part of this conversation in Lima? Does Caracas have a dog in this fight?
Well, the guy who's the sort of behind Castillo in terms of the intellectual author of the movement is a guy called Vladimir Cerrón. And Cerrón is a Peruvian, but was educated. He's a medical doctor by training and got his medical training in Cuba, where he lived for a number of years. And so I would say that this is really more of a Cuban operation. But, you know, when Cuba has spent 60 years indoctrinating people all around the region, it's a lot harder to trace it specifically to Havana. I mean, you know, there might be Venezuelans, there might be Cubans, or there might be Peruvians who were educated and indoctrinated by the Cubans as Cerrón was. But certainly Castillo's language, his speech, his rhetoric, his world vision is very much in line with what Venezuela and Cuba.
We have a minute. The new Biden administration, does it have comment on this contest between the right and the left, between Fujimori and Castillo?
Well, I haven't seen any of it, but my sense is the Biden administration would say that the Peruvians get to choose. That's what an election is about. And, you know, for all of the problems that we've seen in the region, it's never been that people choose either a left guy or a right guy to be president. It's what those people do when they come in. Are they able to collapse, competing institutions? Do they respect the separation of powers? Castillo has been moderating his language. He at one point he said that they should get rid of the ombudsman, which is a kind of independent institution in Peru. He threatened the court at one time. He has walked those things back, but I think the problem wouldn't be that Peruvians choose Pedro Castillo, but that the U.S. interest would be to say to whoever wins, you have to respect the institutions. That's where the rubber hits the road.
Mary Anastasia O'Grady, the America's columnist and editor for the Wall Street Journal editorial board on the Americas. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF, and in Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.